there's a new personal computer from Commodore, with a third more built-in memory than the Apple II, at half the cost. The Commodore 64.
Recording right now.
Absolutely not recording.
I did not hit the record button and start recording.
So, there was something I want to tell you about my dog first.
Before we start? Okay, go ahead.
Well, she's a cute
dog. Is this the Bichon Frise?
Yes.
Whatever?
She's a cute dog, right?
Yeah, I did see her today. That's true. Yeah. I did. I went over to Mark's house and was able to see this puffy white thing barking at me and running around and... Then she decided, she wasn't okay with me just trying to pet her. She would bark and yell and run around. But then when I stopped, when I ignored her, she would run up and lick my fingers.
Yeah. She wants attention, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, when I take her on walks, I have this long fishing reel leash.
Uh-huh.
We walk along business streets a lot. If a store's door is open, she loves to... What are you doing, Wes? You're not recording, are you?
No, I'm not recording, Mark.
Okay.
No, go
ahead.
Yeah.
Anyway. So she loved to run in the stores and just look around inside the store.
Okay.
And I let her do a store owner since she's cute and don't mind, so I let her do it.
Uh-huh.
But the other day, she walked into a store with beautiful hardwood floors, and she pooped on it. It was so adorable.
What'd you do?
I carry a bag with me to clean it up.
Oh, okay.
I offered to clean it better than the bag would, but they didn't want me to.
They didn't want you to clean it up?
Better than the bag.
Than the bag.
They were kind of disgusted with me and just wanted me to leave, I think.
Oh, really? So they cleaned it up?
Yeah. I mean, I carry a poop bag, so I cleaned it up a little bit with the poop bag.
Okay. Yeah, your dog is awesome.
You can start recording now.
Oh, okay.
You're not pushing any buttons, Wes.
No, because I've already started recording,
what?
Mark.
What?
I know that you knew that I was recording because you used the words poop.
Oh, okay.
And if you knew we were not recording, you would say, ish.
That's true.
Thank you. She's taking the ketchup away. Oh, she's putting
actually,
the ketchup
away. Actually, we always call it poop.
No, we don't.
No, in my household, we call it poop.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really seriously say poop instead of ish?
Yes.
So the more...
When it's referring to dogs.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, these onions are okay.
Yeah.
So, greetings, everybody. My name is Wes.
I'm the world-famous Mark Bernay.
And you're listening to Slurpcast.
Yeah, where we slurp our food.
This is a show where Mark and I get together once a week to go over daily tech news.
I put some jam on the English muffins and start slurping. Here we go. Mmm. We're at the Flippers Hamburgers in Hayes Valley in San Francisco, which used to have free Wi-Fi. That's when we came in here, but they don't seem to anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
This is not something I can easily eat with these microphones.
Hmm.
I will continue to try. It's now very cold and it's windy outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark and I get together.
There's pigeons everywhere.
There are pigeons, yeah. Mark and I get together once a week to go over the weekly tech news, and we have an interest in old technology as well, so we like to bring up where there's new ideas and fancy fads going on. We like to combat those by talking about how those are the original core ideas were probably started somehow sometime in the past.
And there's also, in the last couple of weeks, there's a bunch of anniversaries of different things.
Okay.
So those are old items also, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the 30th anniversary of Usenet News.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
30 years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. NNTP.
Well,
Networking News Protocol.
Actually, this is not actually the 30th anniversary. The event is that it started at Duke University.
Okay.
And Duke University has decided to shut theirs down. They're not going to run a news server anymore.
Really?
Was the news item this week, I guess.
Most service providers have to run their own NNTP server. Which then shares its news with other NNTP servers.
By migrating every night, by synchronizing with each other over time.
That idea makes it easier and leaves less of a burden on each of the machines.
Right. And before the internet, it let people, one part of the world, write an article and anyone else in the world could read it, like maybe the next day, because it would take a while to propagate.
Right.
But before the internet and before there was any real-time connections between all the machines.
In almost any sort of interest, there's a channel for it, a newsgroup channel. Mm-hmm.
Although it's all spam nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, spammers got to it years ago, and it's kind of destroyed it all.
There's also...
Uh-oh. There's pigeons flying overhead.
I know, and that's scary. Mm. There's also a lot of porn news stuff.
Really?
So, you can download pictures and...
Well, not just porn, but all kinds of illegal software, illegal movies. You know, BitTorrent is big for illegal movies, but Houston news groups are still very big for all kinds of illegal stuff.
And as far as being able to track you, it's very hard with Usenet. What I've been told, that that's better to use than something like a BitTorrent. Just because you're reading from a post that somebody else made,
right.
And it's very hard for them to actually know, let alone care, who downloaded the actual information.
Right.
I don't think your personal information is stored with any kind of a server log when you're downloading from Usenet.
Well, they probably get your log your IP address, I bet.
Hmm.
They certainly have it if they want it.
Yeah. Okay, so what's going on in the news? You go first.
Okay, well, that's one. Another anniversary I really used this week. It's the 30th anniversary of Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah. Pac-Man was made by, what, Namco?
And Google's homepage this week has a picture of Pac-Man. That's the Google logo.
Okay.
And it has a button called Insert Coin, where we usually have I Feel Lucky.
Okay.
If you press the Insert Coin button, then the Pac-Man game comes alive and you can play it.
I almost got attacked by a pigeon.
Yeah. Should we start feeding them?
No.
Yeah. There's little starlings, too.
Huh?
There's little starlings. So Pac-Man was kind of one of the first real video games that got really popular, right?
Well, Space Invaders, I think, was one of the more popular.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, which one was the most, but...
And that was Space Invaders was first, probably. It's a simpler game in a way.
I can say that in terms of a video game that actually becomes many different products, I think Pac-Man was probably one of the first. Because before, up to that point... Mm-hmm. You didn't really have such a fad. I mean, Space Invaders was pretty popular. Lunar Lander was pretty popular. There were a bunch of Atari games before then that were pretty popular, but definitely in terms of coffee mugs and accoutrements and things that that had a spin-off from the Pac-Man video game, that was the best.
There's an iPad version now that gets bad reviews, so I didn't install it. But.
Well, I have Ms. Pac-Man for the iPhone, okay. and that runs just fine when you expand it on the iPad.
On the iPhone and on the iPad, all the Pac-Man reviews typically talk about controls. It's hard to control the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still talking about that with the pad version right now.
Well, the Ms. Pac-Man was pretty easy. You just swipe in whatever direction you want the joystick to move into, no matter where your finger is on the pad.
I see. Okay. Do you find it's pretty responsive for that?
Yeah. Including, you can swipe before you reach a corner, swipe in the direction you want to go,
mm-hmm.
and it will take that and stick it in a queue, and by the time Pac-Man gets to that corner, it'll then turn directly.
Okay.
And that works pretty well.
Anyway, go to slurpcast.com, and we'll have a blog entry for this podcast where we have URLs to these stories, more information about it.
Now, are they giving that one away for free, or is that...
No, but it's on sale. It's $3 or $4. It might be 10 otherwise.
I paid 99 cents for the Ms.
Official for an official Namco one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought an AT&T microcell just to play with it. They made it available in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this. Going on.
I don't know if the other carriers are handling them that much, but I think it's mainly AT&T because their network sucks so badly. But the point of a microcell is you plug it into your DSL or cable with your high-speed internet line, and it does voice over IP over that. But then in your house, it wirelessly broadcasts an AT&T signal as though you had an AT&T cell tower right near you.
All right.
But it goes about the duration of Wi-Fi, about the distance Wi-Fi would go.
Okay. So it's low-powered. It's not quite...
Yeah. And then they have security, which I don't like. I wish it would just work. But they make you type in the phone numbers that you want it to work with, claiming that's a feature for you, but I'd almost rather it just plain work.
So, in other words, any AT&T customer with a cell phone who's in your house who
will
wants
not
to get...
work unless I type their phone number into the next cell. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit annoying. I wish it would just work. It's not really that bad in my house. I don't really need it. Besides, I just switched to Wi-Fi anyway, but I just want to see how it worked.
What would you consider the best laptop manufacturer
right now? Maybe Lenovo.
Lenovo?
Or Sony, something like that.
Is that?
Or Apple. Apple. What am I saying?
Okay.
Apple, of course.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, but in terms of what? In terms of stability, manufacturing?
Probably in terms of the keyboard quality and just the quality of the components, maybe like Lenovo or Sony or something.
All right. The reason why I bring this up, I was actually shopping for a laptop, and I settled on the Studio line at Dell.
Okay.
The Studio line seemed to be a good compromise between, you know, speed and build quality. They have like a titanium metal.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But they had fairly fast processors as well, and the cost was definitely under $1,000.
Think you get a lot of RAM? Is it 64-bit?
64-bit comes with 3 gig, but you can go up much higher than that.
That's enough. I don't think that's enough.
It is not an i-series processor. It's a Core 2 Duo.
But what's the battery life then?
8 hours.
Okay. That's good enough.
And I figured, that's pretty good.
But you already have an iPad. Why would you want this?
Well, it's not for me.
Okay.
So,
why would you...
It was a birthday present for somebody.
Why would you give them an iPad? What they really want. They don't want this.
I actually did get them an iPad, and they really did not want that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they touch it with their hands?
No, they didn't actually hold it.
Okay.
If they had, maybe they would have kept it.
Right.
No, I actually... that's my first thing. And yeah, and as far as cost goes, this was more expensive than the iPad, so I would have been happy with them just having the iPad. But in terms of things that they can immediately use and benefit from, it made sense that the laptop was more important. So.
Like what?
Like Photoshop.
Oh. There's Photoshop for the iPad.
No, there isn't.
There's an app called that.
Really?
Well, it's for the iPhone only. You have to use it in compatibility mode.
Okay.
And it only does about 2 or 3% of what the real Photoshop does. But,
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
But they can get that iPad app that brings up controllers for Photoshop.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, I kind of have a similar experience. Since I got the iPad, I really haven't used my notebook for anything.
Uh-huh.
But the other day, I had to because I wanted to do something that the iPad browser doesn't... Because people think the iPhone iPad browser are just missing Flash. But that's not true. There's a lot of JavaScript stuff that doesn't work with them. So I had to do something out of my house.
Okay.
Just wouldn't work on the iPad. So I brought my real notebook. And I was just amazed to find that my notebook, you could browse the internet, you could check email, and you could run applications and run programs.
Really?
Without an iPad. With no Apple products whatsoever.
Wow.
It was really kind of interesting. I hadn't realized that before. So, as a matter of fact, I could run several of them at once and flip around between them so easily.
I looked at the SDK for the OS 4 that's coming out for the iPhone and iPad and iTouch.
Okay.
And I was pretty blown away by the different things that they're actually adding to the OS. It's going to be a lot more than just those, what they call tent poles that Steve talked about, the 5 or 7 tent poles.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that they're adding to this that means a lot of testing and a lot of time perfecting the way that apps are going to be handled in the background. So that across the board, developers don't have to specifically handle multitasking.
Right.
It will just simply work. Like app switching will work by default.
Yeah, that'll definitely be good.
So I think this is going to be the big OS to wait for. So don't we hear that tethering is coming from AT&T?
You said that a year ago.
I
know.
Never did. So Apple supports it, but AT&T doesn't.
Right.
No new news on whether that's gonna.
No.
Okay. Bastards.
I think people have even pointed out to AT&T that the new OS 4 supports it.
Yes.
And AT&T just has no comment. They're still just not going to do it. He might eventually. But.
They're already suffering from their allowing of the 3G to be $30 a month.
Right.
Everybody and their grandmother's buying them.
Yeah, the 3G version?
Yeah, apparently they're still like selling out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in San Francisco.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
But you bought a notebook.
Yeah, and on top of that, a Dell.
I have a Windows one.
I know. So let me jump onto my stories here.
Okay.
So Mark and I both don't know anything about this, but we're going to go do some research to figure out what this is all about. But there's a handheld device meant to look like and work like a netbook called the Pandora. And it's apparently now shipping. First mass-produced unit unboxed. And looking at this, it looks almost like pager size. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard. It's got a couple of controllers, like it could be like video game controllers, but it looks like it's got stereo speakers and a fairly high-resolution screen.
Right.
It's all open source, so it's going to be probably more than likely a Unix or Linux flavor.
Well, but it only works for the Navi, where you have to take the braids of their hair and plug it into the side of it. Yeah.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah. Take the tail and stick it in.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do some research. I'm going to put this article in the. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have Mark add it to the show notes.
Yeah, because it looks kind of cool. It is kind of a weird item. That the way that cars nowadays have the diagnostic adapter in the car,
right,
where you can plug a computer in and read out diagnostic stuff.
New cars do that, really?
Yeah, for years.
Really?
They've had that kind of stuff for years. There's been a diagnostic connector.
I knew about like reading engine codes and stuff like that. You can buy devices on Amazon to do that.
Right, but apparently the connector is like two ways, and you can reprogram some of the attributes of your car that way.
Wow, all right.
So, hackers have figured out how to plug in a little wireless device into that,
okay,
and then drive near you and send a command to your car to shut off your brakes and to stop your
nice.
Engine and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's hacking cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I saw that article.
Yeah, so I'll post an article about that.
Great, wireless.
Yeah, I know. Oh, another anniversary. There's so many this week. The laser has turned 50.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know someone who does microwave stuff and radio antenna design and stuff.
All right.
He said if you look through the history of the patents and all that kind of stuff, you find microwave waveguides getting more and more sophisticated in the patent literature, and then all of a sudden they just die. Because that's when the laser came out. People switched over to light instead of microwave.
Okay.
You know,
interesting. Yeah. At some point they just all switched.
Yeah.
That's cool. You sent me this, but I had already seen it before, and I took a closer look at it and actually watched the YouTube video when you sent it to me. Mm-hmm. There's a YouTube video called The Evolution of PC Audio.
Yeah.
And what it is basically going back to 1981, one video game, over time, having its theme music played on various different audio hardware devices that were available for the PC. So it starts out with the 1-bit speaker in the IBM PC, playing back the theme to Monkey Island.
Is he faking that, or does he really do it that way?
My curiosity was what video games stuck around. What video game that goes all the way back to 1981 would go from 1981 having continuous updates till to support the new hardware,
new sound cards,
all the way up to today. Or actually, 2009 I think is when he stops.
But that's what I was just saying. Did he just synthesize that song himself and just make square wave version, make more complicated versions?
It's not clear. If it's general MIDI, I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
So in other words, like the music doesn't change. It's the same MIDI notes being played on different hardware, which is possible.
Right.
But I doubt it because the actual music in the video changes from different example to example. So
but does it sound accurate to your memory of how the different platforms sounded?
I don't remember that well.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to look at the progression from one device to the next device.
Right. Okay, then there's one. Every once in a while, someone comes up with a demonstration website that shows what kind of information your browser leaks to the web.
Right.
What people can learn about you.
Nice.
And it was always assumed that for your history of what you had browsed, that there was really no way to read that unless someone had set a cookie or something. People couldn't just figure out your browser history.
Right.
Turns out they can quite easily and always have been able to. Browsers, since a very long time ago, have had a feature that lets people interrogate the history.
Okay.
Except indirectly. They can't actually ask your browser what websites you visited, but they can present your website, your browser with a particular URL and ask, have you visited that one or not?
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so by at least the most popular ones, they can try, it's pretty fast, they can try several thousand URLs to see if your browser responds to it, yet you've been to those lately.
And that happens pretty quickly?
Yeah, you can do it quickly enough to scan like that. You wouldn't notice. So we'll post a website called What the Internet Knows About You that does do several thousand and reports which ones you've been visiting.
Huh. Okay.
And it also talks about the technology of how they do it, because I would have thought that was impossible, but it talks about the browser features and why this is possible to do this.
Huh. Weird. Yeah. That's awesome. It's awesome, but also scary that there's things that you're not supposed to be able to do that people are finding workarounds to.
Right. Yeah.
So I found an article about a video game company that makes a hardware device that emulates the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and the Genesis all in one device. It's literally got three different cartridge slots. Hmm. It also has different controller ports for you to plug in the appropriate controllers.
Is it really tiny?
And this box will simply play whatever you give it in terms of those video games.
Is it really tiny?
No, it doesn't look that tiny. It looks like the size of a Super Nintendo. Let's see here. What can I tell you about it?
Is it legal?
No, that's the question, and that's why I wanted to talk about this.
Will it blend?
Yeah, it probably
will.
That
is the question.
But the cost of this device is $69.99.
Okay, that's pretty cheap,
That's the suggested retail price. And right now, they're only selling to resellers at the moment.
But you'd have to have the cartridges already?
Yeah.
Did it come with any?
Yeah. The company's called Hyperkin.
Hyperkin,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they've actually done something like this before, but apparently they had problems with the D-pad, and it was only one controller that you could use, and like everybody thought that sucked, so they've allowed the native console controllers to work with this new box.
Oh, okay.
The name of the box is called the Retro N3.
But unless they sell you the controllers, where are you going to find old controllers sitting around if you don't have the old games sitting around?
Well, I think it works off of their controller as well. They have a wireless controller, but it also works with the original controller. So, I mean, if you have these things floating around your house, this kind of just consolidates all those three systems into one box. So.
And they'll get sued out of existence soon enough.
I was thinking, but nobody's ever heard of this company anyway. So, anyway.
Hmm.
Maybe they won't get sued out of existence.
Maybe.
Do they have a bathroom here?
No, they don't. But
what? Really? They don't?
Yes, they do. I forget where, but in the back.
Let me pause.
Inside in the back somewhere, yeah.
I'm going to pause. I'll be right
back. You're definitely paused, so I shouldn't talk about the dog. I shouldn't talk about anything.
No, you shouldn't talk about anything. I'm going to pause.
Okay.
For reals. Okay, we're back.
Okay.
We've got a couple more stories. I have a few more that I want to go over real quick, and then we're going to jump into the craps.
And also serious iPhone things, too.
Okay.
Right.
So are you aware about the YouTube functionality that's been added recently? They're now adding colored tags in comments. So like hashtag information.
I didn't see that one, no.
So you can do like pound OMG, pound LOL, pound FAIL.
Oh, it'll color the whole comment?
Yeah, it'll color those tags, I guess.
Huh.
It doesn't seem to work with lowercase characters at the moment. I got this off of...
That's because Albert A. programmed that facility.
Chris Perillo in Pascal. Yeah, he did it with the Pascal editor.
Yeah, right.
Chris is saying he has no idea what they're going to be doing this
Chris
to
is our enemy. Why are you talking about him?
Well, that's true. Yeah. So there's an example. There's a link that we'll put in the show note. Mark will do, and Mark will add that. And you can actually take a look at why and what speculate as to what's going on there. I think probably because Facebook is following the Twitter tag naming, and
everybody's
sort of
doing
the same thing now.
And everyone has to do 140 characters because Twitter does 140 characters. And
right, exactly.
I hate that. 140 characters is simply not long enough for a lot of things.
Some people claim it makes you think about what you're saying so that you're more clear.
But you still can't do it that short, though.
And my next article is something that we talked about before.
Right.
And I think I kind of believe it because I've had personal experience with this. I'm going to ask you how you feel because you just recently purchased your iPad.
Right.
Is your iPad keeping you awake?
No.
If you go to bed with the iPad, apparently
I do go to bed with the iPad.
Okay. So there's some sort of stimulation that goes on in the brain based on these LEDs that...
I've been doing the same thing with a phone for years, though.
Really?
So,
but is it the same stuff? I think LCD is supposed to be different than these LEDs.
Yeah.
And apparently
I actually like the phone better for in bed. I should really switch back.
Okay.
Because the pad's a little bit too big and heavy to really read in bed.
Well, I do think there's some merit to this whole idea that it stimulates something in your brain that makes you stay up, makes you stay awake. Because I have noticed from the time that when I didn't have it, I did stay up kind of late, but still, when I do read on the iPad at night, it does keep me awake. I actually do seem to feel like it's sort of a reason for why I'm staying up so late.
Yeah,
it's kind of harder to go to sleep.
It hasn't really bothered me lately.
Maybe I should just turn off all the electronics at 9 o'clock.
No. Are you crazy? You'd have withdrawal. You start shaking and stuff.
So anyway, this is an article that, that again, Chris Perillo posted.
And he's our enemy.
Yeah, he is our enemy.
Yeah. I think I have an item of his too, but I forgot which one. I think one of the items I said today might have been from him.
Okay.
So anyway, so there's an iPad game facility that's kind of interesting. No, it's really a phone thing more. You know how the Wii computer, you play bowling and you play golf, you play different things by flicking it with accelerometers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's an iPhone thing called Gigaputt where you it localizes where you are and it uses Google Maps pictures of your neighborhood to play a golf game where you kind of swing the iPhone to hit the ball.
Okay.
And then it calculates based on Google Maps where the ball will end up.
Uh-huh.
And then you see the ball in that place and then you walk over. I think you have to walk over to that place. And then I haven't loaded this yet. But
so it's that. So is that precise, or is it just bullshit, bullshit, bullshit?
I haven't actually tried it yet, but supposedly it makes the golf course out of your neighborhood where you actually have to walk over to the new place.
Because the GPS is not that good.
Yeah.
So it kind of I find it hard to believe that it can be that good enough to show you.
Yeah, exactly where the ball
exactly
would land.
Angle and distance. Well, unless it uses the compass.
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I should try it. I guess.
Yeah, you should. So my last useful story here, before we get to the craps, is this is a Boing article.
Okay.
BBC News interview with Mick Jagger about how he feels on copyright and piracy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing that I got out of this article that we'll post on the show notes is that he believes there was only a period of, what did he say, like 25 years from 1970 to 1997 where musicians were actually making a decent amount of money from the sale of their records.
Huh.
And that before and after then, you just don't make that much money as a musician. So you have to figure out other ways to make profits from the sale of your music.
Okay.
Not that anybody should stop making music. It's just it's just that his theory.
But doesn't the stolen music and all that help you with your live performances, get more live performances?
Well, he doesn't go into the whole thing about that, although that's the sort of understanding is that the performances are where you're going to be making the money and the sale of like accoutrements.
They need to sell popcorn, because movies make all their money off the popcorn, right?
I don't know.
So they should sell popcorn and stuff like that at rock concerts.
With your name or your band name on it or something like that. So it's just kind of a sad realization what everybody kind of already knew, which is that musicians don't really make that much money. And
but is that because the record companies take too much of a share or because records aren't selling?
Well, before it was because they were taking too much of the share. And what he's saying is that now, after 1997, people are just downloading music and record companies just can't make money at all.
Don't they actually sell more CDs than they used to?
So personally think that that's what happens is that when you give away your music for free, people get interested in it. Maybe they can't get all of the songs on an album,
right?
But it does increase awareness because people are handing out music left and right.
Yeah.
What somebody found, I think I talked about this in an earlier show, an artist who was really pissed off that people were pirating her music, went to a certain country to where the most illegal downloads were coming from, and was ended up she got talked into performing out there and found that when she did go to perform, the place was packed. It was
for money
only,
for real money.
And she was blown away at how many people loved her music and wanted to get into this place to see her perform, that she extended her performance and ended up making like a ton of money.
You know, the Grateful Dead always made the argument that they allow people to record at their concerts, even encourage it by letting you plug directly into the feed of the mixer and stuff.
Right.
Because it sells more records and more concerts in the long run.
Yeah.
I heard that. It gets that loyalty. Yeah.
I think you had talked about that.
Yeah, I've seen the good speeches about that, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's why I'm always kind of suspicious about the bands that don't want any recording to go on.
Well, I know it's a fear of every band that, you know, we want to produce an album, we want to put all the money towards producing that album, making it as good as possible.
Right.
Who's to say that we're going to make any money off of the sale of that album at all, period, since most people don't make much money unless they're a widely recognized band.
Yeah, and letting people tape in your concerts will make you more widely recognized, for one thing.
Doing something that makes you stand out will get you started. So giving away free music is fine, in my opinion, just to get that recognition.
Right.
But having them come back to a site or something that's run by you for toys and other things that they can then buy is another way of making money. So it's just a way that musicians have to realize they have to diversify. It can't just be, you know, the sale of your music. It's got to be performances and other things. So that's my theory.
You need to change their name to Goo Goo or something. Sir Google, sir.
He has been dubbed a knight, right? So he is Sir.
Is there a
Mick
Sir
Jagger?
Google? Oh, Mick Jagger. Yeah. Okay. I was talking about Lady Gaga and Sir Google.
Oh, I don't know about
her. Parker, Sir Google.
Really?
I made that up.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know anything but about Lady Gaga.
No, anything about Lady Gaga.
I don't know anything
What's
about.
What's wrong
Lady...
with you? I know
she was a classically trained pianist
exactly.
before she became popular.
And there
That's
are YouTube
all I know.
Videos of her playing the piano. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's move on to more apps.
Okay. There's a really great one. Cause you know how I love fart apps.
Uh-huh.
There's an HD application for the iPad only called Farting Zombies HD.
Okay.
Where you click on a zombie and then it expands that zombie to full screen. Then you touch it and it'll fart. It's very important.
Okay, so these are the BS.
These are the
craps that we're doing first.
No, but these are the applications of why you should choose the iPhone or iPad platform instead of Android or BlackBerry or anything like that.
All right.
There's another cute one I really like. I showed it to us the other day called Magic Mover.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that cute?
Yeah, that is awesome. That's awesome. Is it a free app? Or?
It was cheap anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, it's for the phone only. But you set your phone down and it shows a little picture of a tractor and a start button. So you press the start button and the tractor fires up with all kinds of sound effects and smoke coming out of stalks and stuff.
Right.
Then the tractor moves to the side of the screen, and when it hits the side of the screen, the whole phone starts moving along with it. It pushes the phone along with it. It has a very good effect.
And the texture of the ground underneath the tractor moves with the actual table.
But the phone actually does move, and you can push very light objects with it, too.
Yes. So as the phone is moving forward, the texture is matching the surface that the phone is on, and
it's actually
moving backwards.
Faster. Texture,
does it really?
Yeah, it seems to be the same speed. Yeah.
Anyway, it's realistic enough so that it's impressive.
Right. Yeah, but it's a very cute application, But only for the phone. It doesn't work on the pad, though.
Yeah, because it needs the weighted vibrator.
Okay. Then you know about the Bump app, the original Bump application, and PayPal has Bump technology now.
Okay. I didn't know that PayPal does.
Yeah, PayPal, we could pay each other.
With Bump?
Through Bump, yeah.
Okay.
You both go into PayPal and Bump, and then we'll transfer money between us or whatever. Well, the way Bump works technologically is that...
Yeah?
Your phones, by GPS, it knows that your two phones are near each other. When you Bump... The app sends a signal to the server saying, I've just been bumped and my location is so-and-so.
Okay.
Now, if the server gets at the same time a bump from a different phone that's GPS right near you, it figures you two must be the ones who just bumped.
Isn't that risky?
Not that much, because the bump is a very sharp event, so...
I mean, if there's like a bunch, you're at a party and there's a bunch of people around.
Oh, maybe.
And you bump phones and everybody's kind of doing it around the
same time.
If everyone's
doing it at the same time,
I guess it's a rare enough event.
Yeah,
maybe it's just rare. Okay.
But anyway, so... The original Bump application will just pass contact information between you.
Okay.
Then PayPal, I say, so
it
lets you pay money.
Yeah. See, that's when money's involved, it gets a little scarier.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
But anyway, there's a new one now called Boink, B-O-I-N-K.